It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the missus.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those
Trump
haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there.
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma... Where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still
God.
Love me?
Very much.
Okay, I don't know if you have, I mean, let's
very much
go
my
there.
Liberal, hot wife.
All right, so that's a 1970s. We did this podcast general in the 1970s. And so... He uncovered that, our producer. Teasing, but ladies and gentlemen, we're going to introduce retired Major General Marta Carcana from the U.S. Army, but also now the Outreach Director for Vets, EDU. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Mooch and the Mrs. General. Great to have you on.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for this opportunity. Yes.
This is a perfect time of year to have you on. We're very focused on veterans.
And thank you for your service to the country. But tell us a little bit about your career, if you don't mind. I mean, you were raised, you're Hispanic American. We don't play identity politics here, but I think it's very interesting. You're Hispanic American, rose to the level of being a adjutant and major general in the U.S. Army. Tell us about your career a little bit, and then we'll get into the charity that you're working on now.
Okay, I'll tell you, I'll start that in 1972, my mother decided we were going to move to New York City. You know, like many people just move looking for a better life for their kids. So I went to live in Brooklyn, New York. I went to Eastern District High School. At that time, they used to call us educated dummies. It was like, okay, here's my
How
new
nice.
School.
That's a very welcoming.
There was no bullying at that time, so it was okay. We had to take it. So I went to Eastern District High School, graduated from. I was an ARISTA member, which means that even though I came from the island, I took pride and I took care of getting good grades, and I graduated with a very good average. I went into New York City Community College. When I was on the island, I wanted to be a doctor, but then now I needed to help my mother in New York City, so I decided I will become a nurse. So I went to a community college. I worked part-time in two different places. One, I worked for the college work study at New York City Community College, and it's no longer New York City Community College. Now it's New York Technical College. I became a nurse, graduated, passed my boards, and went to work for Health and Hospitals Corporation. I worked at Greenpoint Hospital, and I was staff builders. With an agency that carried that same name, and with Big Apple Nurses also. I worked for them for a while. I used to do a lot of moonlighting. I went on to, I got married in 1983, and in 86, I decided I wanted to come back to Puerto Rico. So I needed a job. So one morning I was leaving, I already knew I was coming back to the island, and I was leaving my the shift, the night shift. I worked for Jamaica Hospital. At that time, I was an emergency room nurse. And there was a recruiter. So Sergeant First Class Robinson. And she said, you want to come into the Army? And I said, I have an associate's degree. She said, you have an associate's degree from New York. And New York City Community College is recognized as one of those colleges that we could give you a direct commission. So went to the med station, I was commissioned a second lieutenant. Once I moved over to the island, I went on to get a bachelor's degree. Then I got a master's degree from Central Michigan University. And I was a reservist then. And I kept on with my education as a Army officer. And after 10 years in the reserves, I went into the National Guard. National Guard because it has different missions. You know, I have a federal, a state, and a community mission. And you get more involved with serving. It's not just a federal mobilization. You get mobilized by your governor. You work with the community. So that really appealed to me.
Yeah, you do things locally and you feel the impact. It's more motivating.
It is. You do a lot of stuff. I went from being a clinical nurse to being the XO, the executive officer for my unit. And in 2013, I was the first female to become the chief of staff for the National Guard in Puerto Rico. And 2 years later, I received that call from my governor asking me, can you be the adjutant general for Puerto Rico? So I was like, what do you say to your governor when he calls you and he says, can you serve? So I said, of course I can. So I went on to become the first Puerto Rican female to become a general officer. Mm-hmm. I became a general officer in 2015, and I served as the adjutant general for Puerto Rico since October of 14, still a colonel until I became a general officer, and I served until 2017 as the first Puerto Rican female to lead the National Guard and to become a general officer. So I'm really, really proud of it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you should
really
be.
Really an amazing career. Could you tell, you were active duty in Kosovo.
I was in 2010.
And so tell us a little bit about that situation
that like?
And what was the execution. That was actually Bill Clinton's foreign policy that led to a peace situation there. And so you were there on a peacekeeping? Or tell us about it.
It's a peacekeeping mission. It's still ongoing. The people of Kosovo love the United States, you know. There's a big statue of Bill Clinton in the middle of a town in Kosovo, like downtown Kosovo. There's a big statue of President Clinton there. When I was mobilized to Kosovo. And
my wife wants to know if were his pants on or off in the statue.
Oh my
She's
God.
Just asking.
Oh
for,
my God.
No. Pants on.
Okay, I was just checking, you know.
Oh my God. Just ignore him, okay? Meaning now, Anthony.
When I was there, Hillary Clinton visited with us, and she's loved by everyone there also. She was then the Secretary of State, so she was my own secretary then. So I went to work in the Pristina section of that mission there, the U.S. mission. Pristina used to be like the Hollywood of Kosovo, and after the war, it became a military base. I was working at the NATO headquarters in Kosovo, I was the assistant to the chief of staff, who was a one-star general. I was then a colonel. And General Gorski, it was a tremendous, heck of a person. And he gave me a lot of what I have today in terms of how I had to treat my soldiers, my airmen, my civilians as a general, because he was a really, really, really good general and real good boss. So I was there. I was in Kosovo for 11 months, and we worked with 32 different nations. There was a headquarters. They were all officers. So imagine 32 different nations working there under one roof.
Yeah.
So we ran the operations, and my boss, General Gorski, he was the chief of staff for that mission. And it works like that all the time. So the allies, one is the commander, then the deputy commander, and U.S. always has the is the chief of staff for that mission there in Kosovo. Every time the mayor questioning of U.S. leaving Kosovo, everybody just like the Kosovars, they go like crazy over, no, don't leave us. They really have gotten used to the U.S. presence there.
Do you think we'll always...
Mission.
You think we'll always have peace there now, though? How do you feel about the stability of that area?
Well, it's being that this NATO is there, you know, peace is kept. There's a few incidents every day. There's places that get burned out, and but it's peaceful. It's a beautiful country. I mean, so it's just too cold for me. I don't like cold weather.
Well, obviously, you're from the island. Oh, my God. So speaking of your beautiful island, how is it doing?
Well, we're doing much better after 2 years after the hurricane. There's a lot being said about my island all over the world. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, not in a
accurate
good sense. But I always try to bring, you know, my message that we are good people, that we love our island, we love our relationship with the United States. We are citizens. We are born citizens since 1917. Mm-hmm. And it's just that the bad things that a few people do affect the entire 3.4 million Americans mm-hmm. that live here. Mm-hmm. But we work every day to make it a better country. And I'm sure we're going to be again the Enchanted Island. I mean, the beaches and the mountains and the valleys, they're all enchanted. It's just a few bad things, but I think we'll overcome that. Economics are bad. The money wise is bad, but we'll get over it. I'm sure.
You took a big hit. I mean, the hurricane really cost you quite a bit of money, and I know that tourism is obviously a major thing. Anyone I know who's ever visited Puerto Rico says that it's a beautiful place and the people are amazing. So hopefully, I mean, I had somebody I was speaking to recently who went there, I would say, I don't know, a month ago, and he said where he went, it was absolutely beautiful and completely intact. So I guess there are parts that have been rebuilt or they weren't affected really as badly as some others.
Most of the hurricane went from one end to the other of the island. So
right,
it touched
everything.
The entire island.
Right.
That was the bad part. And then the grid, the electric grid, all went out. So mm-hmm. that's what made it so bad.
Yeah, it's devastating.
But everything is mostly rebuilt. And again, you know, the hurricane uncovered that deep part of any country that no one knows. You know, 'cause, I mean, if you don't live in poverty, you don't know that there is poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So being that the hurricane came and then the government, we only 100 by 35, but there is mountains, there is people, places that are isolated. like up on the mountains mm-hmm. and stuff. And the government really didn't know how those people lived.
Right, so it kind of uncovered and exposed everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hurricane exposed everything that was out there that the rest of the island did not know. But I think we have recovered pretty well. Everything is like back to normal. I mean, my world is back to normal. Okay. I'm sure there's people that have not gone back, and a lot of people migrated, but they're coming back. There are already people coming back from the States because there's always been a lot of migration between the United States and Puerto Rico. People go, they stay there for a year, they come back. So, you know, when the government says like 70,000 people left, they never count the people that come back. So I'm sure that, you know, and I hear it from people, oh, I'm going back, or people that say, I was there for 6 months and now I'm back. Everything is back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect everything to be normal soon. So thank you for asking.
Okay, good. That makes me happy. That makes me really happy.
Good. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
So I have a question. In my mind. So when you went to be a nurse, so you had that in your mind, uh-huh. but the whole military thing, is it something that was suited for you, or did you have to adjust and make yourself be okay with it because it was something you felt like you needed to do, you know, for your mom and just in life to make it and make life better for your family?
I always wanted to be in the military.
You did? Okay.
I did. But when I was 17 and I took the ASPAC and I passed because I went to the MEP station, passed and everything, then I was overweight. So you can, you know, it's really hard to go on a diet when you're 17.
Mm-hmm.
So then
or
a lot
40.
Of stuff came
or
about
anything,
to me
anytime.
And then I couldn't go in. And then my mother said, well, no, just go to school. Forget about the military. You'll make it. And then I really joined the military when I was already 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I came in. But being a nurse and being that it's a profession that I love because I, like I said, I wanted to be a doctor, but once I became a nurse, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to serve. You have to be, and I am, and I believe that I've been like that all my life. I'm really structured about what I do. So going into the military was not difficult for me because I'm used to following instructions. I always was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became a nurse. So a nurse has to take instructions, has to follow orders. It's part of it, you know. And it grows in you. And when you really look at it, it's like, it's my profession and my military service are both so linked because you must follow instructions. You must do stuff a certain way. You just don't go about doing stuff your way. You know, you don't have to create anything. It's there. It's there for you. You just have to follow it. So,
and they're both really important and a matter of life and death sometimes. So they're both really serious jobs to have and important ones,
exactly.
too. I know. It's very interesting when I talk to people and they say, I always knew I wanted to do something, or I always knew I wanted to be in the military. And I feel like that's like a gift in many ways, because to have something so strongly inside of you from a young age is special, you know, and to pursue it makes it really rewarding, I think.
And you did so well.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the Vets EDU, though. How can people get involved?
Okay, Vets EDU, Mike Aharoni, my friend, met me through through a friend of both of us that introduced us. And my friend Israel, he said, you know, Mike, I have someone that's going to help you. You do the outreach for your not-for-profit. So Mike comes to Puerto Rico before the Hurricane Maria, just like a month before that, to visit me and to meet me. And he says, would you like to join my not-for-profit? Well, you know how it is. Someone travels from New York to meet you because he wants you to work with him, a not-for-profit. You're like, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike really convinced me. Mike is a not-for-profit, comes out of Long Island, and comes to the island and explains everything. It's a not-for-profit. We go around educating veterans, military, and their family on how to use the benefits that they get from being in the military, from being a veteran, from being active duty, especially home buying or home selling. So our Vet CBU, we take the veteran, the active military, guard or reserves from any branch, from any service, and we take them from the first day that he wants to see a house, that he wants to sell his house, it could be either way, until the last day he either gets that key to the new home or the day that he turns in that key. Because sometimes, well, veterans, we get old too. So we want to sell the house we want. So Mike and I have been going around. We've been around the nation orienting veterans, military, Guard, Reserve, Marines, Air Force, on how to fulfill the American dream of getting their own home with the benefits that they earn, that no one gave them. They earned them with their sacrifice. They earned them with their work. And how to get the most out of that benefit. And we always bring it to them, use your benefit,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes you could meet a realtor that doesn't really want to work with veterans because it's easier for them to do it the other way and give you other types of home loans. But we want all veterans, military, active duty, to use the benefit that they earn.
Of course, they deserve it.
For us veterans, it's ours.
Yeah.
And it's a guaranteed loan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they're going to pay our loan, but it's guaranteed by the VA.
Right.
So we want our military to use the benefits that they work so hard for.
I totally agree.
So, and we've been doing that now since Mike was working on it before I came on, but I'm his outreach. So anytime that we can, we meet, I introduce Mike, I introduce the concept of how we do it, and we go around to the Yellow Ribbons, we go out to where the soldiers meet, we go out to the armories, we go out to during their weekend drills, when they come back from deployment, when they're going on deployment, to help them use this benefit to the max. Use all the benefits, especially this one.
Yeah, that's a good thing, because a lot of times that can be really confusing, and there's so much like small detail that people just say, forget it, I'm just going to not even do that because I don't understand it and it's too much work. So that's a really good thing that you're doing. And so you're having an event actually soon, right before Thanksgiving, in Queens, out here in New York City.
Yep.
So
we're gonna have an event on.
It's November
22nd.
Yep.
It's Friday, November 27th, 6:30 to 10 p.m. It's gonna be on Tavern on the Green and Queens Boulevard, and Vets EDU is gonna honor all veterans, military, and first responders. But many first responders are also veterans.
Yep.
So Well, the event is geared towards that. And again, being that it comes from a non-for-profit, this event called STAN, it's STAN for those that stood for you. And whatever profits come from the dinner and the drinks and everything, there's going to be substantial donation to the military academies around the nation. So we invite everybody to be with us on the 22nd in Tavern on the Green and for our dinner and honoring our veterans and first responders.
It's a very good time of year, appropriate time of year to say thank you to all of you who have served our country and sacrificed so much for us. So Anthony and I will... We'll send you some love that way for your project.
Thank you.
And
thank you very much.
I'm glad that we got to speak with you. Hopefully we'll actually get to meet you. And
hopefully.
From woman to woman, I say thank you. I think it's very impressive.
Congratulations on it. It's truly amazing.
Done in your life.
Thank you.
And the way you're giving back. Thank you.
I'm so honored that to have served. And honor when people recognize the sacrifices as a military, as a mother. I have four kids.
That's a
one
lot.
That's a military, that is in the military, active duty. And I have three kids by marriage. And, that's a lot of sacrifices that the family makes also for the veterans, for the soldiers.
I don't think there is actually a bigger sacrifice that a family or an individual can make than to serve their country. I truly believe that. So thank you for all you've done and for your son.
Thank you very much.
And we hope you have a happy Thanksgiving and a successful event.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
this opportunity to speak.
Yes, thank you. And I want everyone to go to the website and check out vetsedu.org.
Yes. Please.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, check us out on social media. You can see Anthony's handsome face. And then we'll see you again next Tuesday. See ya.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90+ days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.